this morning, before I get into God's word, I want to say, as I said many, 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 many times, you know, all boasting is not wrong. You know, you should boast in the Lord your God. Amen. You should boast about your salvation. Amen. You should boast about your salvation. You should boast about your spouse. Amen. You should boast about your family, your children, and you should boast about your pastor. Six people. And this morning, I just want to say to you again and again, and I say this so many times, I won't be where I am today. Of course, the greatest influence in my life has been my mom and dad, and because of them, I'm where I am. And at the same time, it's been Pastor Young and Miss Daphne and Cornerstone, and what they have provided for me, and the environment that they have created, and the recognition and the honor that they have given me. And so I'm forever grateful, you know, for God to place me among you. Yesterday when Pastor Young sang that song, I felt like I got my Singapore citizenship. you know, it took me 20 years, but anyway. I am honestly thankful to the Lord, because it is God who places us among families. Amen? Who places among families. And I want to encourage you this morning to pray for your pastors every single day. Now, I'm scared to do this, but I also want to do this, you know. How many of you, you know, we are in the month of June. Today is the June 13th. For the next, just say the next, you know, you only have 6 months left in the year, that you will say, you know, that every single day, every single day, every single day for the rest of this year, I know you already pray for your pastor, but that you will pray for your pastors, Pastor Young and Miss Daphne, a little bit extra. 11, I think, 11 people. Now, don't just say for the sake of saying, and don't just say for the, but how many of you would do that? Yeah? Don't just make a commitment, you know, the Ecclesiastes says, don't go to the house of the Lord and just open your mouth for anything. Make sure the things that come out that you're really willing to do it, okay? If you're that kind of person, I want you to stand. That you'll make a commitment every single day, okay? Every single day, okay? Every single day, okay? That you'll take some extra time. Like, I know you already pray, but you see, I'm going to go a little bit about to pray for your pastor, right? And so in order to start off, why don't we do that this morning? Is that okay? Is that okay? And so let's all just kind of stretch forth our hands towards Pastor Young and Pastor Daphne this morning, and let's just bless them this morning. Let's just speak over them this morning. Amen. Come on, let's open our mouth this morning. Come on, everyone here, let's open our mouth. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We bless you, Lord. We bless you. We give you the praise, O God. Father, we thank you, Lord, this morning for Pastor and Pastor Daphne. We thank you, O God, for the vision that you have imparted into their life. Not just as pastors, but first of all, I pray, O God, that they are your children, that are your people, I pray, O God, that they are your leaders in this nation of Singapore, I pray, O God. And not only for Singapore, but for the nations, I pray, O God, that you have called them, you have called their families together, I pray, O God. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for the fear that you have put inside of them, I pray. Humility that you have put, honor that you have put inside of them. And this morning, Lord, as a people that you have connected us to them, Lord, we pray for them and we bless them and we ask, Lord, that you would surround them, I pray, O God, that you keep their hearts pure, I pray, O God. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus Christ, I pray that every fiery dart of the enemy that has been shot to their life, I pray, O God, that you would pull out those arrows in the name of Jesus Christ and bring a healing and bring a wholeness in their life, I pray, O God. This morning, Lord, we pray that you would add strength into their life. Give them clear vision, clear direction, clear strength, I pray, like never before, I pray, oh God. And I thank you, Lord, that even as you said this morning, Lord, both of them will be people who will finish well, I pray, oh God. That they will finish well, I pray, oh God. They'll finish well, I pray, oh God. And it's not a building that they have bought, but it's the people that they have produced, I pray, oh God. They'll be the fruit of their life, I pray, oh God. And their sons, what it says in Isaiah 60, that their sons and their daughters will come from afar, I pray, oh God. Because of the investment of their life, their time, their energy, everything that you have put in their lives, I pray, oh God, they're going to die empty, taking everything and pouring it into people, I pray, oh God. And so this morning, Lord, we as a people, we thank you for placing them in our lives. We thank you, Lord, they are a gift to us. And help us to live our lives, I pray, in such a way that our lives will be a gift to them, I pray, oh God. And so this morning as a church, as a family, Lord, we want to say thank you for placing them among us. Thank you for placing them over us. We bless them in the name of Jesus Christ. And everyone said, amen and amen. Hallelujah. This morning, I want to just talk of this, this one thing called extra strength. Can we all say that together?
Extra strength.
Together means with me. Extra strength.
Extra strength.
Come on, one more time.
Extra
last time.
Extra.
I don't know about you, but sometimes I'm living life and going through things. Sometimes I got pain in my body and I want to reach out for that Panadol and take that Panadol and just go to sleep, you know, because I'm tired, I'm worn out, and I take it. It only works for like 2-3 hours and I'm like, it's not working. And I wish I had that extra strength one, you know, the one that kind of is stronger and it lasts longer, you know. And then sometimes it's like that in life. And sometimes as we are walking with God, we need that extra strength. Amen. We need that extra strength, because this morning I believe that even as I'm speaking to you this morning, I believe that the Holy Spirit wants to inject some extra strength into your spirit. Amen? Extra strength into your spirit. You know, the Bible says in the book of John, chapter number 16, verse 33, he says, I told you all this so that trusting me, you will be unshakable and assured, deeply at peace in this godless world. You will continue to experience difficulties, but take heart, I have conquered the world. Amen. Take heart. I have conquered the world. The Amplified says, be of good cheer. Take courage. Be confident, certain, undaunted. For I have overcome the world. And I like this part in the Amplified. I have deprived it of power to harm you. Amen. And have conquered it for you. I like the Woos translation. It says something like this. I have come off victorious over the world, and I like this, with a permanent victory. Amen? With a permanent victory. I want to say to you and me, we are called to live lives that are victorious. Amen? That is not the absence of difficulties, but is the presence of the plan and purposes of God. That as Jesus was, so are we in this world, and that is victorious. Amen? And so this morning, I wanted to just take some scripture this morning and feed you this morning. You know, I always believe that my dad used to always say that your authority to lead is found in your authority to feed. It's not in your gifting, but it's your ability to feed. And if there is anything that we need to always do is come to the Word and allow the Holy Spirit to feed us the Word of God. Amen. And so hopefully this morning, as in this last session, that I can do that this morning. The book of Proverbs, chapter number 30. We looked at some verses the other day. We're going to look at another portion this morning and start off there. The book of Proverbs, chapter number 30, verse 18 and 19, it goes something like this. It says, there are three things which are too wonderful for me. Yes, four which I do not understand. And he says these four things. Number one, the way of an eagle in the air. Number two, the way of a serpent upon the rock. Number three, the way of the ship in the midst of the sea, and the way of a man with a virgin. And of course, the book of Proverbs is written so that we can understand wisdom, so that we can put wisdom in our life. And so when the writer of Proverbs writes this and says, listen, there are four things. It's hard for me to understand in my natural sense. I need the wisdom of God to grab a hold of these things. And so he says there are four things. Number one, it's the way of an eagle in the sky. It's the way of a serpent upon the rock. Number three, the way of the ship in the midst of an ocean or a sea. And number four, the way of a man with a virgin. And these four things speak about these four areas of your life and my life. The way of the eagle in the air is a walk of the spirit-filled believer. It's something that we need to learn. Wisdom. The Bible says, Ephesians 4, walk worthy of the call of God. It's learning to have wisdom. It's, Lord, teach me your ways to walk in that spirit-filled, powerful life with the Holy Spirit. It's the way of the eagle. You don't know what's holding the eagle up, but it's that air representing the Holy Spirit. It's that's what's causing your life to bloom. It's learning to walk. Number two, the way of a serpent upon the rock. It's about Christ and the devil. It's about warfare in the kingdom of God. Number three is the way of the ship in the midst of the sea. It's learning the reason. What is God's big idea regarding the church? What is my place? What do I do? What is the vision? Where is the direction of me being the church in this world? Because sometimes we come together and we sing nice songs and we shout and say, amen, I believe it. And that's about it. There's no actual evidence in our life of that God really lives inside of us. If you know more Christian people than people who need Jesus, something is wrong. People say, well, I want the supernatural. But then go where the people are. Go where the darkness is, where there needs a display of the power of God. Am I making sense to you? The way of a man with a virgin is talking about the intimacy that you and me need to have as believers with Jesus our Lord. And so it's a concept that the writer writes and says, listen, you need to log into God and then get some wisdom and learn these things. Learn these things. Learn these things in your life. And so please understand, the spirit-filled life is not all easy life. Sometimes we stand up here and we give you all the nice testimonies and God came in and God did this and God gave the miracles and this happened. And I should do a whole session on how many times I prayed for people and nothing happened. And how many times in my own life that I believed for something faster that I knew for sure it was the Lord and nothing came through. I should do a whole session on the number of people that I put my whole life and trusted it and believed and they betrayed me. But I choose to focus on the goodness of God. Am I making sense? I choose to focus on, but it's not. Paul says something like this. Paul says, listen, 2 Corinthians chapter number 4, verse 8 and 9, it says, we are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down. Struck down. I like this. Why? Because I feel like some of the people that hurt you the most are the people that are closest to you. I say something like this, God gives you a family to teach you spiritual warfare. You don't need to go get a book and just be around your family. But these areas of your life, Paul says, listen, we are hard-pressed, we are perplexed, we are persecuted, we are struck down. Let me give you NIV, Nikki's International Translation. He said, listen, as you're walking with God, as you are walking with God, as you're living the spirit-filled life like an eagle in the sky, as you're walking with God in oneness and trying to live out the Christian life, you will have things happen. You will have things happen that might not go all in the right direction, but times in your life that, number one, you will experience fatigue. What is fatigue? A loss of strength. That you will experience failure, a loss of confidence. That you will experience fear, a loss of security. You will experience frustration, a loss of vision. Am I making sense to you this morning? There'll be those times. And in my time, life, at one time I feel like, praise God, I know what God's going to do for the next 20 years. And there'll be times I don't even know what God's going to do in the next moment. Because I've lost something. Somewhere along the line, please understand, sometimes your axe gets dull just by using it. Just by using it. And so the more you use your gift, the more you need to take some time to sharpen it. Am I making sense to you? And so this morning, I really felt to talk about this for the next few moments. Why? Because I really believe this morning that the Lord wants to do some work in your life. Paul says, listen, we are of the same household of faith. We have the same spirit of faith. And therefore, I believe. And therefore, I speak. Amen. What is this believing? The promises of God. What is this speaking? The promises of God. He said, listen, my heart, therefore I believe, you believe in the heart. My heart is clean, is healthy, is whole. And number two, not only my heart, my mouth is healthy and whole. And some of us believers, sometimes we need to go back to simplicity in our life and look at, hey, is my heart really clean? Number two, is my mouth, I must have brushed my teeth 3 times, but is it still clean? Why? Because there are words coming out that should not come out. About people, about situations, about things that have happened. Why? It shows that I've not been healed. It shows that I've not been whole. It shows that I've not allowed God to come in and bring wholeness. And so this morning I want to take a few moments. Can I do that this morning? Because I really believe that the Holy Spirit wants to come in and put some extra strength inside of you. Come in and bring some health. Come in and bring healing into your lives this morning. Because I know most of you are in a place that you are serving, and most of you are in a place you're walking with God. Most of you are in a place that everything that God has, you're trying to pull it out of your life and give it out to others. And in that whole process, you need the Holy Spirit to come. And you need the Holy Spirit to bring healing and wholeness and put some extra strength into your life. Some of you are facing fatigue, and some of you are facing fear, and some of you frustration that is set in. Some of you are experiencing failure. Yes, you're smiling, and yes, you're talking to everybody as if everything is right, but internally, things are not healthy. And sometimes when things are not healthy, we try to be around people who will not ask us those kind of questions. And so I want to say to you this morning, the best thing that you can do is keep your heart clean. The best thing that you can do is keep your mouth clean. Am I making sense to you? You look at Elijah in the Bible, and you know the story, and I'm just going to read here a bit here and there. 1 Kings chapter number 19. When Ahab got home, he told Jezebel everything Elijah had done, including the way he had killed all the prophets of Baal. And so Jezebel sent this message to Elijah. May the God strike me even and kill me if by this time tomorrow I have not killed you just as you killed them. Elijah was afraid and fled for his life. And he keeps on going on saying, he says, verse 4, then he went down alone in the wilderness, traveling all day. He sat down under a broom tree and prayed that he might die. And he says, Lord, I have had enough. He goes on to say, take my life, for I am no better than my ancestors who have already died. And if you keep reading the story, you know the story. I'm going to skip it. Verse 8 says, so he got up, ate and drank. The food gave him enough strength to travel 40 days and 40 nights to Mount Sinai, the mountain of God. Then he came to a cave where he spent the night. The Lord speaks to Elijah, what are you doing here, Elijah? And you know the story. I'm not going to read the whole thing. But here is Elijah walking out of the call of God in his life, doing what he was supposed to be doing, challenging darkness, confronting the works of the enemy. And it didn't take much. All it took was one little letter, just one note, and all the things that he could the strength that he needed to call fire down, all like a balloon that's, you know, popped, all gone. Just one. Sometimes it's just an email. Sometimes it's just one phone call from the doctor. Sometimes it's just one person's name that is mentioned. Sometimes it's just one event that takes place. And all your gifting and all is out the door. And suddenly, it's like Elijah, fear, fatigue sets in. And it's never instant. It's never instant. It's always slowly and it's always subtly. It's always slowly and always subtly. And so let me just say a few things to you very quickly regarding this. Why? Because I believe that there are people here this morning that you're low on fuel this morning. that you really need that extra impartation by the Lord and by the Holy Spirit this morning in your life. Outwardly, yes, everything. And sometimes, you know, we are people, we preach good, but our families are going the other direction. And yet, in all those things, we are standing in front of people and saying, listen, God is a good God. But we are worried, what's going to happen with my daughter? What's going to happen with my son? Sometimes we walk into those opportunities where we feel like we are obeying God, but at the same time, our marriage is falling apart. Your fuel is low. What are some of the signs that your fuel is getting low? Number one, intimidation starts to creep into your life. The Bible says that Elijah was afraid. Number two, I find myself running away from things. I become non-committal. I'll let you know. I'll text you. We find ourselves running away from things. Number three, we start backing out of relationships. We start avoiding people. Why? Because we're getting low on fuel. I start making foolish, impulsive decisions. Foolish, impulsive decisions. I push myself past physical limits. I push myself past physical limits. Number six, my work seems pointless. It's like, you know, I'm doing all these things, but it seems like it's going nowhere. We don't look at the rest of things that are actually produced fruit, but we look at that one thing that's causing you problem. It seems like I complain that I want to quit and give up. And at those times, you got to be careful of what I call self-talk. You know what self-talk is? We talk nice to everybody, but we murder ourselves with our own words. When your fuel is low, please understand, I feel like I'm isolated and attacked. Have you ever said like this? I am the only one. Nobody understands me. Let's settle it. Yes, nobody understands you. Okay. But there is that sense of being isolated. Number nine, I began to compare myself with others. And I feel bad about me. When my fuel is low, I think death might bring relief. Death might bring relief. Why? Because the pressure of things is too much. When fatigue and fear settles in. And please understand, it's not to the immature, okay? This is not signs of immaturity. It's for everybody that walks with God. The Bible says, take heed to yourself. Take heed to yourself. And sometimes, why? Because maybe we are leaders, or maybe people who looked up to us, maybe in our own family, we are the only ones that are Christians, or maybe there are people around us who are counting on us. And so we try to act the part. But the fuel is low. The fuel is low. Why? Fatigue and fear has set in.
I look at 2 Kings chapter number 7. Why? Because here's an illustration of when frustration and failure has set in. In 2 Kings, you know the story. These four lepers, they were sitting there. He says, "Why should we sit here waiting to die?" They asked each other. "We will starve if you stay here. But with the famine in the city, we will starve if you go back there. So we might as well go out and surrender to the Armenian army. If they let us live, so much the better. If they kill us, we would have died anyway." And so at twilight, they set out for the camp of the Armenians. But when they came to the edge of the camp, no one was there, for the Lord had caused the Armenian army to hear the clatter of speeding chariots and the galloping horses and the sounds of a great army approaching. The king of Israel was hired. He has hired the Hittites and the Egyptians to attack us. They cried out one to another. Now, please understand, God in his wisdom, he can do supernatural stuff anytime, right? Okay, there was no army. God just caused the sound of an army, right? It was just the sound of an army. I could tell you at least like a dozen stories. Why? Because God does supernatural things. He can make something out of nothing. I remember one time I was doing a meeting. I went all the way into this city. And nobody wanted me to come and things like that. The only place that was open to preach was the Catholic Church. And then so they said, "Yes, you can preach on a Sunday night. You know, you can use our building." And it was one of those nice churches where you know, they have those big, big windows. Everything is open. And we advertised the meeting left and right. This, nobody wanted to come. And so we had like 40 people come. And so I preached that night, and I was very discouraged because, you know, I flew all the way to this country for almost 25 hours and this, and then spent a lot of money, spent a lot of things, and 40 people came. I said, "God, I've done what you've called me to do, but it's not the 40 people. I just wanted to know, God, am I doing right? Am I really walking in what you have told me? Am I really being obedient?" And so I was discouraged, but I still preached. I stood up and I kept preaching and I kept preaching and I kept preaching. And as I kept preaching, I see these crowds of people coming, left, right, people coming with water, coming with buckets, people this, that. And suddenly, just in a matter of minutes, a little bit later, suddenly we had like about 500-600 people. And I'm like thinking, what happened? They're all screaming, shouting, "Get out, get out." And I'm like, "Get out, why?" I thought they didn't like our meeting. They didn't want us, all those things. But suddenly, there's the whole building caught on fire. Not natural fire. There was no fire at all. We went out and looked. I said, "What fire?" "There is no fire." But everybody in the city saw a fire and a smoke go up to heaven. And it attracted over 2,500 people that came that night on the field. Now, please understand, God can do crazy stuff. The reason I tell you that story is that, listen, doesn't matter what's going on in your life. What I'm saying to you this morning is God can do some supernatural things in you today. In you today. These people, they said, "Listen, we are at a place that, listen, if you sit here, we die. If you go back, we die. Might as well go to the Armenian camp." Why? "Because they got some chicken rice. At will we go eat and die with a smile on our face." And so there are those three options. And please understand, every time you are at that place, you got those three options. You can, number one, remain just the way it is. Not do anything at all. Not do anything at all. And usually people choose not to do anything at all. Why? Because of comfort. Why? Because they don't want to pay the cost to see some change in their life. They don't want to pay the cost of what is going to really take to see the work of God fruition in their life. Usually, because they don't live life by conviction. They are not in charge of the decisions of their life. They're always letting it happen by someone else, and they're always being followers. They can remain. Number two, they can go back. Go back to the place of famine. And you know, that was the biggest problem with the children of Israel. God wanted to take them forward. And every step forward, and if some difficulty would happen, guess what they would do? They'd go back. They'll say, listen, we like the garlic and the onions. It was better. We didn't even have to wake ourselves up every day. We had an alarm clock. Those people actually came and woke you up. When you need an alarm clock to wake you up, something is wrong. That means the vision has been lost. Hear me clearly. When you need an alarm clock to wake you up, somewhere along the line you lost vision. Because if there is vision in your life, you don't need an alarm clock to wake you up. There is an excitement that says, listen, the vision is much bigger. Am I making sense to what's happening? They could have gone back. And I want to talk a little bit regarding this very quickly. Why? Going back. Retreating in life has some issues. The Bible says if they go back, there was famine. What was happening in the famine? The Bible says they were eating donkey's head. A donkey speaks about stubbornness. When you have lost the presence of God, guess what settles in? Stubbornness settles in. Stubbornness settles in. In the land of famine, the Bible says this, that they were eating dove's dung. Dove's dung. You know what a dove's dung is? It is where the dove was, not where the dove is. And anytime your past is greater than your future, and please understand, you can't walk this way and keep your eyes back like this. You're going to run into some things. And every time around your table, and every time around your family, and every time with your friends, your conversation is more about the past, something is wrong. In today's day, all over the world, we are living with five generations that are present. And each generation is trying to connect to the next generation. And they think that wearing skinny jeans or maybe wearing tighter clothes will connect to the next generation. Or get on TikTok or get on whatever it is. But listen, the biggest way to connect that we fail to connect in, it's not the external. Am I making sense to you? It's not the external. It's what's in your mouth. Is it the future or is it the past? Because please understand the difference between the older generation, younger generation. The older always talks about the past. Always about the past. And if you're going to see something happen, you need to change and put something regarding the future if you want people around you. The sense of helplessness in leadership. The Bible says the king was walking and people were crying out. They say, help, help. And he says, I can't do anything. The sense of no harvest. The Bible says the threshing floor. There was no food. The sense of depletion of the next generation. They were killing their children. The sense of bitterness and anger towards the prophetic. The prophets would say something. They wanted to kill the prophets. The absence of the fear of God. What's happened? You're in a wrong season. You've not moved forward. I want to say to you this morning that listen, the Holy Spirit wants to inject some extra strength inside of you so that you can run forward. If you're going to run forward, you need God to give you some security. Number two, you need God to give you some strength. Number three, you need God to give you some supply. Some supply of supernatural things. And this morning, that's what I believe, that when we pray, I believe that God wants to come and put that strength to produce some security inside of you. Give you some strength. Give you some supernatural things that you can make a way forward. You might say, Nikki, what do I need to do? Well, let me kind of wrap it up by saying to you these few things. Just simple things. The Bible is so simple, you need help to misunderstand it. Just simple things. You say, well, I'm at the very crucial point in my life. God just does simple things. For Elijah, he said, Elijah, rest your body. Hello, somebody. Some of the most spiritual thing you can do, I've read over 100 plus revival books, not one chapter talks about resting. If the weekend is the end of the week, something is wrong. Sunday is not the weekend, it's the beginning. Rest is not the fruit. Rest is the foundation. Rest your body. Number two, reassess your strategy. Like he said, Elijah, what are you doing? Like, have a hard look at what, because sometimes we are busy. It's like, are there things that you can do without? Are there things that you can do without? Number three, recognize the people who are in your circle. Because sometimes we are looking here, and God has already got somebody around you that you are bypassing, who's got the things for you to move forward. And number four, this might seem crazy, but sow a sacrificial seed financially. Every instance I see in the Bible, all the way through, all the way from Genesis, they would go and offer sacrifice unto the Lord. And it would be like, and Abraham had a vision. Isaac would go and sacrifice and say, he had a dream. Jacob would go and offer, Solomon would offer sacrifice. And I realized that when I'm in that place in my life, I sow, I'm not talking about just throwing money, I'm talking about sowing a sacrifice. I will not give anything that is not going to cost me anything. To sow a sacrificial seed. Why? It opens the heavens up over your life. I need to hear God. And this morning as I close, I want to say this to you. I really felt this morning, just a simple word to you this morning, that as we close this camp and as we close this time, that I believe that the Holy Spirit wants to come in. Remove fatigue, remove fear, remove that frustration, remove that spirit of failure. Add some strength into your life, strength into your marriages. Some of you are here and your marriage is in a bad place and you came here that, you know what, hey, I hope God speaks to my spouse or speaks to us. I hope God speaks to my children. I want to say to you, God can do that right now. He can do that right now. Would you stand with me this morning? And I'm just going to pray a general prayer. But I believe and I trust the Holy Spirit. Because I believe that I've done what God had put in my heart. And I know it's the rest of the time is God's to watch over and to give increase. But whatever is going on, more than what meets the eye, the Holy Spirit knows exactly how and what. And I'm just going to pray a general prayer and let Pastor Young come and take over. But whatever is happening, I want you to just open up right now. Whatever it is, open your mouth to the Lord. And I say, God, I am in that place. You know it. And you're speaking to me. I'm asking you to intervene in my life. I'm asking you to put security. I'm asking you to put strength. I'm asking you to supply some supernatural doors in my life. I'm asking you, Holy Spirit, to refuel me this morning as I go away from this camp. In only way that you can do. With all the disappointment, with all the discouragements. And so wherever you are, as you're standing, let me just pray. Father, I thank you right now. I thank you, Lord, for your great plan, your great provision. And by the Holy Spirit, would you release the love of the Father. Holy Spirit, would you release the love of the Father in every person, canceling out every fear, canceling out every spirit of failure, canceling out every fatigue, canceling out every frustration in the name of Jesus Christ. And add strength this morning, I pray, God. Add strength by the power of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name.
You've just listened to a production of Cornerstone Community Church. Please note that all unauthorized reproduction, distribution, or sale of the recording is prohibited. For permission to reproduce or distribute the sermon, please write into mail@cscc.org.sg. We hope that you have been blessed.